Welcome to the Wager Makers Podcast with Webb and Smith.
Brick by brick, baby.
Hello, my name is Steve Smith, and this is Rob Weber. Say hey, Webb.
Hello. What's up, Smith?
I'm Smith, that's Webb, and we are the Wager Makers, and this is the Wager Maker Podcast. Webb, this is Wager Maker Podcast number 28.
Number 28, baby. Darren Woodson.
Darren Woodson. Marshall Faulk. I'll go to New Orleans kid.
Marshall Faulk's a good one. Yeah, that was a good one. All right, yep.
28 solid. Woodson, man. Come on. We got to do better than that. Marshall
Faulk. Woodson's top of A1.
All right. So this is Wager Maker Podcast number 28. We're coming at you Saturday morning. We're a little late this week, the holidays and everything. So, but man, we're getting right into Webb. The Jersey Devils are in the Super Bowl.
Here we go. Super Bowl bound.
We got games today. Baby. Big deal today. Dude's got the Patriots defense. So I'll be pulling for the Bills and my boy Josh Allen to be doing something. Super Bowl, man. One week. He's got a better team, man. We play a league where you can play two quarterbacks. This is a wild card. You can use your quarterback as a wild card. He's got Lamar Jackson and Mahomes on his team. He's been ripping through the league.
Yeah.
I gotta hope this is the week Mark Ingram scores a bunch of touchdowns. That's what I gotta hope.
Wow.
And maybe the Bears will slow down Mahomes. We'll see what happens.
You got to thank Jason Garrett for getting you over the hump last week.
Dig it. We pick a coach in our league too, and so you get 10 points for the coach. And it's weird. It's only 10 points, but it always seems like if your coach wins and the other one doesn't, or vice versa, it just makes a big impact in the game.
That's the difference.
So I had me and Webb were last second going at it. Who's gonna win? Because I picked up the Dolphins coach because I had Garrett all year long, and I was just nervous about the game this week, but. You were kind of saying, don't go with the Cowboys, but I ended up going with the Cowboys. I danced with who brung me, Webb. I danced with who brung me.
That's right.
But I got to tell you, I picked up the Broncos coach this week. They're playing at home against the Lions, and I think I'm going to go with them this week for those trying to get those 10 points as opposed to Dak on the road in Philly. I still think Dallas might win that game.
I like the Fangio pick. I think you'll be all right with that.
That was the last second pickup. I've been making moves because I'm kind of outmatched in this game. If I win this, I should get the wins and I should get coach of the year too.
Yeah, that's right. Coachy's going to win this one for you. There you go.
The coach of the year, because I'm pulling shit out of my hat this week. I got a new kicker.
That's what I'm saying. I'm with you.
If I can knock off Mahomes and Lamar Jackson, that's doing something.
That's right. You're the Bill Belichick of. That's right. New Orleans
fantasy. This would be one for the thumb for me. One for the thumb.
Yeah, there you go.
So all kinds of stuff happened this week. Obviously, Nick is going to give me shit again because I'm going to go home. I'm going to go straight to the homer. Heisman Trophy winner, Joe Burrow, LSU, of the year. Nick, Coach O, Coach of the Year. Joe Burrow, the Heisman, they had all kinds. I think they won the Defensive Player. They had the Defensive Player of the Year. They had all kinds of awards they won. Did you catch the Heisman speech and all that?
I did not. I did not see it. It snuck past me. I'm sure it brought a tear to your eye.
Well, I told you. You know how I am. I told you already about how I am with the Hall of Fame speeches. This was no different. I was bawling like a little bitch.
There you go. Hey, that's it. You got a big heart, man. You're softy.
Empathetic or something. I got empathy.
Right.
But, Joe Burrow, great speech. Well deserved award, but now he's got to move on. How many times have we seen it where the Heisman Trophy winner lays an egg in his playoff game? So we're hoping that doesn't happen this week. And just so you all know, we're gonna have another show Thursday night, and that will be our big college football playoff kickoff episode, and we'll get into our picks for that week. I think me and Webb have some things to iron out on one of the games there. We'll see how it turns out with our picks. I think we're in agreement on a couple on one of them, but I think we got to iron out some things on the Ohio State Clemson front before we can do something. So
we'll figure it out.
Yeah, and then, we got the LSU fans, the Louisiana fans are so crazy. They're already saying, oh, man, the Saints got to give away everything to try and move up and get Joe Burrow. Move everything, get rid of everything like a Ricky Williams trade to move up and get Joe Burrow. I'm like, dude, you talking about the dude who couldn't start at Ohio State? That's the guy? That's the guy that we're going to move up and get? Oh, man, trust me, LSU fans are pissed what I just said that just now. You mean the guy that couldn't start at Ohio State, we got to move up a year later and get him and give away everything to have him come to the Saints?
A couple guys started in front ahead of him. A couple years, not just one dude. Couple. Right. They brought a guy in from Georgia to beat him out.
Had to leave schools. Had to leave schools to try to get a starting spot.
To get a job. Right.
Right.
So actually, I don't even think LSU was his first pick, was it? He wanted to go to.
Well, I think his deal was I think he's got like his dad and brothers were uncles or something like that. Went to Nebraska. So he wanted to go to Nebraska. Yeah. And but they had given the scholarship to that. I think what's the guy's name? Martinez up there or something like that.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Scott Frost kind
of just right. So they told him, listen, this dude's our starter. Exactly. You know, just so you know, we'd love to have you, but this guy's our guy. We're not even bringing somebody in to like the part of the deal that the deal they had with Martinez was we're not going to bring anybody else in. I heard a story the other day. We're not going to bring anybody else in there.
Yeah.
So he didn't go there. So he goes to Ohio State, obviously bounced around a little bit. And then when he's looking to transfer, he almost went to Cincinnati and decided on LSU.
Well, he's an Ohio kid, right?
Right.
That's why. Yeah.
Right. But I mean, almost went to, I mean, that's what you're talking about. Like he almost went to Cincinnati, the Bearcats.
Right.
You know, and LSU has such sucky quarterbacks all the time, man. It worked out good. Look, it worked out good. Okay. He had an awesome season. I'm not saying any, I'm not taking anything away from him. Class kid, fun kid. You know, but he's got along great in LSU. Everything happens for a reason, but it worked out for this kid.
Sure did. So, he's gonna make a lot of money.
Stay in the Louisiana realm. You see Drew Brees on Monday Night Football. Came got the NFL touchdown record.
Yep.
And that was a big night. It's funny, the Saints fans, they only talk about shit being fixed when it goes against them.
Oh, of course.
You know?
Of course.
So Drew Brees is on Monday Night Football. It happens It happens that it's the same game that he can break the all-time NFL touchdown record. The NFL sets it up like that for that to happen on Monday Night Football. I don't know how they do it because they set the Monday Night Football games in advance, you know, year in advance or whatever. But they know that this – because it's a weird matchup. It's the Colts and the Saints. It's not like a big game usually. You know, not conference game, not a division game.
It's not even nothing the same like conference. Right.
Right. So it's just a weird game. And I remember being like, man, that's a weird game for Monday Night Football, especially late in the season, you know. And so it turns out, of course, looks like Drew Brees is going to break the touchdown record on that game. It's the 10-year anniversary season of the year that the Saints beat the Colts in the Super Bowl. So the Saints on Monday Night Football had a big ceremony. I saw Reggie Bush on Bourbon Street Saturday afternoon. I was at a restaurant Sunday, and Scott Fujita was there at dinner. They had a big all the guys from the Super Bowl team were in town that Monday night and had a big ceremony Monday night. So it just so happens that all this shit's going on Monday night. The football ceremony, the Monday Night Football breaks the 10-year record against the team, breaks the touchdown record against the team that they played the Super Bowl against 10 years ago, and have a special ceremony with all the players there in the stadium and all that stuff. And Brees just happens to go 29 of 30. With four touchdown passes.
Right.
But this shit isn't. Look, Saints, you want to scream set up. This was if there was a setup. This is what it was on your side. It reminds me. I went to the last game of Derek Jeter in Yankee Stadium.
Like that guy didn't put it on a tee for him. Man,
right. So it goes game. Last game of Derek Jeter in Yankee Stadium of his career. We fly up. We go to the game. It goes to extra innings. And Derek Jeter gets the game-winning hit on the first pitch in the 10th inning.
Right.
Makes you wonder. Like I'm not a conspiracy theory guy, but these kind of things make you wonder. Drew Brees, not only does he come out and throw the touchdown passes, but he goes 29 of 30. He has like a perfect he breaks the record for like completion percentage in a game.
Yeah. And didn't the game he beat the yardage thing he was on, it was a Monday night game too, was it?
That was a Monday night game. They threw that long pass to Traquan Smith that got him over the hump. But yeah, that was a Monday night game also.
Yep.
So Saints fans always want to act like something's fixed. Look, I'm not saying it's fixed. This shit's a little fishy. It was set up perfect. And we had some good reader comments this week. Stephen Doe and Scott Wheatley both mentioned that they've been winning some money on our stuff. And even Scott asked us, he said he wants to bet the house on the Saints on Monday night. And first I told him, listen, man, I like the Saints. We took the Saints. But I would just go easy on it a little bit. Saints were banged up, but once I saw all the shit that was going on in that game, it wasn't too long before I told him, listen, I gave you some bad info. You should have bet the farm on the whole. You should have bet the farm on the Saints.
Hey, but a win is a win. We'll take it.
Right. More, that's what he said. He said it doesn't matter. He bet the farm on it anyway, so he got to
right, right. Okay, good.
We had a last-second message from Chan Arnold. He had a fantasy football question in his playoffs last week. He had to pick between Dak Prescott and Jared Goff. They were both playing in the same game. He needed one quarterback of those guys. I told him take Dak because of the chance of his legs, and I just don't trust Jared Goff. I think it turned out they were pretty even, but Dak certainly played the better game. I think the only reason fantasy-wise that it turned out even was because Jared Goff got a lot of garbage in the end. In the end of the game. But certainly Dak came out and kicked some ass. And good news, Chad did make it into his Super Bowl, so he let us know that he won anyway. And they made it into the Super Bowl. So, man, we're rolling. We're rolling here.
That's right. Everything's lined up. That's right. See that? It took us a little while to get going, but we're on fire now. And right into the bowl season, too. We got 40. We're 1-1 now, but we got another 38 games to go.
Right, right. Saturday morning, man, we got three NFL games. We got a few college games this week. All kinds of stuff. We had the Army-Navy game. Man, that game was fun to watch. Did you watch any of that?
Yeah, I did. That was easy. That's a big deal. A couple of my boys, Belfi and Perrone, are big Army guys. So we kind of get a tradition to go out and watch that one. I wasn't able to make it this year, but all my boys are out around here, but that's always a good time. Army was just a little bit outmatched this year, and they started out strong, but they took care of business for us at least.
Yep, we were on Navy, laying the 10.5. We were on over on that one too. That didn't come out, but we split that one. But Navy was a good play, man. They played good.
That was right there, though, man. That's another one I felt good about. I mean, that could easily, you know.
I think it was 14-7 in the first. So we were halfway to the number at halftime, and just a couple things happened down the stretch. Right. And even that was a little nerve wracking because I think Army got up 7-0 in that game. So it's like, we're laying 10 points or whatever. Navy's got to get going. But man, that kid playing quarterback for Navy is a pretty damn good runner.
He does a bunch of stuff too. I think last year he was a wide receiver or something.
So yeah, they've been moving him around.
Yeah, it's crazy. Always a good time though. Good game.
Right. I thought it funny. We started out with a win Thursday night. We had the Ravens against the Jets in that garbage game, but the Ravens whooped up. Go ahead.
I don't. Every week I'm waiting for that dude not to do something amazing, and every week he just blows out my expectation.
Right.
So, I mean, they're obviously looking real good at the right time. I'm hoping, you know, for them it didn't peak too early, but he's playing out of his mind.
Yeah, I hope he doesn't do well this week, obviously, because I got the
right.
All I need, I don't care if the Ravens can win by 100, just do it with handoffs this time.
Right.
But I thought it funny. I saw a lot of pictures. You know how the players do the like nowadays it's a thing where they trade jerseys with each other after the game.
Yeah.
They showed after the game with the Jets, right? And there was like five or six Jets dudes standing there with their jerseys trying to get a jersey from Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
And they actually pulled out extra jerseys and gave them to like he's like giving gifts to these kids. He's like giving them. It's like the Joe Green, like, hey kid, gives them a jersey actual players.
Smile, unbelievable. Right.
And he just ran all over them up and down the field, and they're like trying to get his autograph and shit.
So, I mean, going into the game, obviously they were in awe of him. So now, you know, it's what an advantage that is even before they kick it off. It's crazy.
I mean, what would the Jack Lamberts of the world think about this shit is what I get. And I'm not saying, look, I get it. The guys at the end of the day, they get together around and they do a little pray together sometimes, stuff like that. Right, they didn't used to do that shit. Or whatever, you know, they're hugging, they're high-fiving and saying hello. I know that a lot of them with free agency, they've known each other and stuff like that. But damn, dude, sometimes it's like, damn, this dude just ran all over you. And you're like, oh, dude, can I get a fucking jersey from you? You're supposed to be their peers.
Right, exactly. You're supposed to be even.
Right.
At least lie to us. Pretend you care.
No.
We're
watching.
Not good.
Oh, did you see your boy? You know, you've been talking a lot about who might take over for the cowboy job next year. And there was a certain spectator in the audience at the Eagles game this week. I don't know if you happened to catch that.
At the Redskins, I was Urban Meyer. But he was a guest of Haskins and McLaughlin, whatever the wide receiver's name is. So that's strictly... platonic.
Oh, gotcha. That was strictly an Ohio State thing is what you're saying.
Exactly. Right. That's right.
Do you want Urban Meyer to be the coach of the team?
I mean, from the names that I've heard, absolutely. Yeah, I'd take him for sure. Yep. I'd take him over Lincoln Riley or definitely the dude Rule from Baylor. I'd take him over Mike McCarthy too, for sure.
All right. I'm not a big fan of the college coach going to the pro thing. I think it just adds one more question mark on their resume kind of thing if they haven't really coached in the NFL. I don't remember too many college coaches that have really made a real successful transition to that point. I know Urban Meyer is probably a different beast altogether, but I don't remember a whole lot of college coaches that have really done a great job when they
I mean, Cowboys, you got to look at Jimmy Johnson. That obviously worked out. Yeah, and even Barry Switzer after that, but that was Jimmy's work. But then it's funny because Jerry Jones, the one who brought those guys in, and now he even says, oh, it's difficult to bring in a college coach. So I don't know if he's hedging.
Yeah, it's funny.
My fear is the Cowboys will win this game or whatever game, somehow win the division, get into the playoffs, and then even possibly win a playoff, and then we're stuck with Jason Garrett on a new 5-year deal or a 4-year deal, whatever it's going to be. That's my fear, and probably most Cowboy fans.
Right, like Garrett's going to do just enough to hang around and have another above mediocre season kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, and Jerry loves him. He doesn't want to fire him. So if Garrett gives him any excuse, you know, lets him off the hook in any way, I think we'll have him again. But Jerry too. But I've heard things about the kid from the New England OC. I forget his name. His name's escaped. He coached the Broncos for like a season or two. Yeah. I wouldn't mind him. Although his mixed results there, and typically the Belichick tree isn't the best. Best leaves don't fall off it. And then the offensive coordinator for Clemson was another interesting name. I don't know. And that's typical Jerry to do something that no one thought of. So that's another scary thing too. There to be some. And my wild card, I said this to you a couple of weeks ago, is the dude Chris Peterson. He used to coach Boise and he coached Washington. The Cowboys I don't know.
Yeah, they got Boise players all over the field. State.
It's got to be literally six guys from Boise on the team.
That's so funny. I mentioned that I'm not crazy about college coaches, and right off the bat, you named probably the two most successful ones that have ever done it went to the Cowboys. You know, Switzer and Jimmy Johnson. I didn't even think about those guys.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think the message has grown stale for Jason Garrett. Time's gone to move on. We got to move on.
Right. All right, we'll move on. I was watching the Titans-Houston game. They said, you've been talking all year long about how bad the field goal kicking
is. Amazing, yeah, when you said, told me
I
this.
I could not believe. So I'm watching. I'm on the Titans. Dude runs out, shanks a field goal. They're like, he's 8 of 18 in field goals this year.
It's shocking. Shocking.
I couldn't believe it. That was a good game. The Saints have to go to Nashville this week and play the Titans. That was a good game between the Texans and the Titans. Texans play today. We'll be making a pick on that in a little while and try and get this podcast edited and out right away so we can get everybody in on that.
Yeah. So how do you keep your job? You're hitting 8 of 18. That's less than 50%. I don't. That is ridiculous. I mean,
that's the difference between going to the playoffs and shit.
Right, right. That's season changing, right, especially for them. But they got like 8 or 9 wins.
Right, I think they're 8-5. I mean, you're talking about 30 more points in a season. And then not to mention the times like that's you miss a field goal and it throws you behind things late in the game and you're doing things different as opposed to maybe being up by 6, all of a sudden you're just up by 3 or whatever it is, or even or tied and you're down by 3.
And even on the road, you drive down. Momentum swings on the road, and now the crowd's behind the other team.
Right.
And plus the field goals. I mean, the field position's a big deal, too, because they mark out where the ball is placed.
Right. All of a sudden, your other team's got a great field position.
Right, exactly. And then, I mean, that's interesting, too, that we bring that up. I was listening to one of these guys on the sports gambling channel on Sirius. It just says, you look at the teams that are left, what an advantage that the Ravens have just based on Jason Tucker.
Right.
I mean, that's huge too. And I thought about it. I think Lutz is the Saints guy, right? He's good too. But some of these kickers are just awful. And that's just a huge advantage if you have a guy that's going to, you know, you're confident to jog out there from, you know, even 40, you know, 49, 50 yards. Right. Half these guys are missing fucking PATs too, man. It's crazy.
Right. What a difference that's made, really. And more exciting it's made since they moved that PAT back. You didn't think it would be such a big deal at the time. But man, that shit makes a difference in games. And
especially the Cowboys going. I mean, they just signed Kai Forbath, who's been on, I think, 7 or 8 teams, literally 7 or 8 teams. You think he was on 3 teams this year? It's literally a coin flip. You got like, I can't even watch. Like this is literally a 50-50 shot that this dude is not the field goal, and then even the extra point. It's great. It's ridiculous.
Right. I mean, especially a team like the Titans, but in the NFL, every game is close as hell. But certainly they're a team that kind of plays D. And runs the ball, you know, kind of keeps the game close and kind of think, you know, where they're not really blowing teams out, man. 30 right. points over the season, yep. certainly that's worth a couple of wins.
Hell yeah. I mean, yeah, they're playing, you know, run the ball, kick the ball, field position. Right. It's not like it's the Ravens or the Chiefs.
Yeah, they're not the greatest show on turf or something.
Right. They're not, right. Yeah. Yep. Crazy.
So, all right. They go to Major League Baseball, have a couple big signings. We might have talked about that last week. Cole going to the Yankees, and Strasburg is staying where he's at. But they passed the thing that they're no longer going to be checking for weed in the drug test for Major League Baseball. See that?
And I said that opioid, they're going to check, but there won't be no punishment for opioid, which I think is great. I think that both of those is, you know, late to the party, but excellent, you know, definitely great steps in the right direction.
Right. The weed thing, you speaking of weed, they got Josh Gordon. I heard he's going to start learning how to play baseball.
Exactly. Yeah. That's, I did see that.
Yeah. So Josh Gordon got kicked out again for whatever he was doing. So, yeah.
Go to the NBA. They don't test for weed either. But it's even ridiculous, the NFL. Like, of any of them, these guys are getting the shit kicked out of them, and then they can't even, you know.
Can't spark a little dude.
Right. You know, kind of on Tuesday night to kind of recuperate, sitting on the couch or whatever. So, again, it just seems a little hypocritical. But, you know, bravo to the MLB.
Agreed. I think Major League Baseball is making a step in the right direction. I mean, it's legal in several places now anyway.
Exactly.
If the guy lives in Colorado, how are you going to tell him? Well, yeah, but you live in college. You're playing for the Rockies, but you can't be smoking weed.
Not only that, you'll shoot this dude up with Toradol. They're talking about shooting Dak Prescott up with Toradol to get him through the game, but you can't, you know, can't smoke some weed. Come on, you're going to stick I don't know what the level of the painkiller is in his shoulder, but you can't, you know, he can't smoke something that grows out of the ground. So again, it's just a little hypocritical.
All right. So we talked about maybe Nick Perrone being a. Being an intern, we have a few times we need an intern to check us up on some of our facts. I think we should have a little. He looks like about the kind of intern I'd get. Some dudes in office, they got a like hot young girl intern kind of thing. We'd end up with a Nick Perrone as an intern, right? Jets fan, so he'd be wanting to talk about Jets all the time.
Yeah, it's getting funny right here with a Jets hat on.
But we probably need somebody that's going to check us on our facts. We talk shit sometimes. And we've even said sometimes the stats, you can throw them out the window. We're just talking from the heart here just to make a point. But maybe we should have a little competition. Maybe Chad Arnold and Nick Perrone and some of the guys can get together and we'll have some kind of competition. And they can make a little appearance on the show once a week or something like that and tell us where we screwed up on some of our facts and stuff.
Fact checking, right? Exactly.
That's kind of like that guy on PTI that comes in and does that.
Words right out of my mouth. Yep, that's great.
That would be funny. Hey, if anybody is up for the intern job, let us know. Let us know.
Yeah, that's right. We're taking applications, resumes,
and we'll have to figure out a good competition to see who gets.
Right. That's right. Or you guys feel free to come up with a competition as well. We'll Smith and I'll judge you.
Yeah, that's Nick Perrone. That would be like the intern I got.
Right, exactly.
That figures. And then they had a story down here. I don't know if you saw it, if it made national news or what. So the week before with the San Francisco 49ers in the Saints game, Sean Payton, he kind of went for a two-point conversion early in the game. Yeah. They ended up losing by two. And so he's walking around Whole Foods, and the butcher gave him some shit. He's like, so what made you go for two? And so he let it go. I think he let it go. He went around the store. He said he walked around the store for a while. Mulled it over, and he's like, fuck this dude. I'm going back in there. So I went for two because I wanted to, he said. And he said, and you better check your meat. Your meat's looking a roll. You worry about your meat.
Meat's looking a little gamey there, partner. Check out this filet. A little, you know, not so marbled.
Oh, shit. That was
funny. Somebody's ribeye's got no marbleization. Right. He said the funny guy came back and goes, I can't even believe you shop for your own groceries. He's like, what do you mean?
Right. He said, yeah, I walked down the aisle just like everybody else picking up my food.
That's great.
All right, so anything else we want to talk about from last week's games? We went 7-6 in NFL. Like I said, we had the Navy in the over, so we kind of went 1-1 in college. We got college bowl season is here. We went 1-1 yesterday. Right. We had Utah State, they lost, but we had the Buffalo in that Bahama Bowl, and they won. So we got a bunch of stuff coming up. Don't forget, we got Thursday night. We're going to have our big picks for the college football playoffs. And right now we can get right into the NFL unless you got something else you wanted to talk about from the week.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, Saturday morning. Let's start with the three NFL games today. Cool. We got the Texans go to the Bucks, the Bills to the Patriots, and the Rams to the 49ers. What are you thinking here, Webb?
All right, let's start. I guess the 1 o'clock game is Houston and Tampa Bay. I was seeing that. Godwin and Mike Evans are out, right? Which my first inclination in this game was go with the over, which I still do like. Both these teams to me are up and down. I saw it where Jameis can throw for. He's going to be one of the only 30-30, got 30 touchdowns and 30 interceptions. And he's going to throw for, he's going to approach 5,000 yards. Is that's unbelievable. They have the number one offense. That's crazy. Having said that, I think I like the Texans minus the 3 and the over, but nothing crazy.
Yeah, I'm cool on that. I like the Texans. I think, you know, the Texans, look, Tampa Bay, they've gotten a 7-7. They've won 4 games in a row, kind of quietly. Yep. Won 4 games in a row. But I think the Texans are still playing for everything. Tampa Bay is not playing for much. I think they're probably a better team, and they're only laying 3. I kind of like the Texans in this one, I think. And yeah. I'm cool with the over.
Jameis is going to throw a touchdown and at least a touchdown and at least eight.
And at least an interception, according to the stats.
Right, right. So it's going to help, right? And I don't think the Bucs defense isn't too good, and the Texans secondary sucks too. So I think we're all right. Honestly, I like the over better than the game itself. So
all right, there you go. Moving on, man. Look, the Bills, man, they're good. I'm not even playing. The Patriots have been struggling a little bit, but still, it's 11-3 against a 10-4 team. They're laying almost a touchdown, about 6.5. Yep. What do you think in this one?
I've gone back and forth on all 4. I've thought about the Bills. I've thought about the Pats. I've thought about the over, and I thought about the under. The thing, I'd be all over the Bills here based on everything. If they didn't just win that game last week, I don't know if there's going to be this big emotional letdown. The thing that I think is going to keep them from doing that, it's up in New England. It's a big deal for them. I do like the coach. I think he's changed that culture. And then how they play, how they win games is going to kind of keep them from that. That thing. And the running back, with Singletary, I think his name is, didn't play the first game. So that's just, I guess, a long-winded way of saying I'm going to take the Bills plus the 7 on the bye here. I think they're going to keep it close. And if you have to go over under, I would actually go under, believe it or not. I think it's going to be real low scoring, particularly early on. So I do like the Bills plus the 7 on the bye there.
All right, I like the Bills. I'm with you. I like them getting the points in this game. I think, like you say, I like the way they play, man. They play the kind of game that travels, you know. And they really laid an egg when they played at home against New England. I think maybe they'll learn something from that.
That was still close. Yeah.
Yeah. The New England, they're not really firing on all cylinders offensively, but that doesn't mean they can't come out and whoop the Bills' ass today. You never know when that's gonna stop.
Right.
But I also, to be honest with you, I'm leaning towards the over on this one because it's so low. I think these teams will score at some point, even if it's a defensive touchdown here and there. So we can lay off of that one, but take the Bills if you want, if you're leaning towards the under.
Yeah, then they said, I think this is the first time in Brady's career there's been an over or total in the 30s, which is crazy.
Wow, that's nuts.
Yeah, that's crazy, right? All right, fair enough. Yeah, I mean, that's like I said, I did think about the over at some point as well, too. So just a little extra juice on the over here. So it looks like Vegas may think it's going over. It's over 37 minus 115, it says here. So that's going to tell you something there. But just go. Let's take the Bills plus the 7 on a bye.
Okay, sounds good. Moving on. Tonight, we got the Rams against the 49ers.
Here's a tough one, too. 6.5. I mean, the Niners just got beat last week at home by – Atlanta, right? So, and the Rams got smoked by the Cowboys. So if you add that up, that's going to tell you to take the Niners, I think. I don't know, man. This is tough. And over 40, I do think they're both going to score. I do like the over 44 if you buy that half point. And honestly, I just think the Rams are going to keep it close. I think the Niners are kind of banged up. I don't know, dude. What do you think? This is a tough one.
Man, this is a tough one. I'm kind of leaning towards the Niners. Shocker, I'm going with I like the favorite. I do like the over in this game. Like you said, I think these teams will score, even though Niners have been a real good defense all year long. But really, the last 3-4 games, I think they're banged up and they've been giving up. Man, the Falcons kind of went up and down the field against them.
Yeah.
When they needed to last week.
Well, I know Ford is out, right? And then Sherman's got a hamstring, so he may, depending on how effective he's going to be. They have bigger fish, kind of the fry type thing. I mean, it is, they're still in the running for number one. It's an important game, but
this is a big game for them. They only have 2 games left, and they're right now they're on the at. If it was over today, they'd be the wild card team.
Yeah, number five. Yeah. Right. So, yeah, I got you. I mean,
and I think the Rams, they had a good little run where they had two or three games and played kind of like the team that people thought they would be early on. But I think I think the true Rams came out last week and played in Dallas, as opposed to a lot of people think it's the other way around. They think, oh, they laid an egg last week. I think they played above their head of two or three games leading into that, and then really the true Rams came out. I think the 49ers might put an end to the Rams season this week, which is what this would be if they lose.
Yeah, they were smoking coming into the Dallas game. They had three wins in a row that were pretty impressive. Yeah, that's fine. You know what? I'm thinking about Jared Goff right now, and I'm thinking Aaron Donald hasn't really done too much. He didn't do anything really. I think he had three tackles against the Cowboys, one tackle for loss, and he can wreck a game. But that Niners offensive line is good. Yeah, I wouldn't mind taking the Niners. We could buy the Niners down to 6, and that over down to 44. I like that.
All right, sounds good. So there we go. We got the Texans and the over. We got the Bills and we got the Niners. Go ahead and put that in right now because we got a couple games. That Texans game is coming on. The Texans game will be on in like 2 hours.
Under two hours.
I'm going to get this podcast out there. And don't forget, you can always check our picks on Instagram. I'll put these ones. Usually I just put our daily picks on the Instagram and the Twitter. I'll put those ones on Instagram today, the NFL. So, and then we can go to the college football bowl games today. We got a few of those, too.
Yep. Let's see the time they kick off. Let me scroll down.
You know, 1 p.m. Central game, Central Michigan and San Diego State.
Yep. It's funny. Be careful with these games. Just a little note of caution. Like that game last night, and if you handicap that game, there's absolutely no way that Kent State should have even been in that game. They were, I think, somehow there's 130 teams in college football. This is another thing I heard. And they were 127th against the run, Kent State, giving up, I think, 258 yards a game. So if you add that with the quarterback that Utah has, who's going to be in the NFL, and then a running back, they had a good running back. There's no way that game should have went with that way. So just a little.
Well, that game was weird. Neither team could stop each other at all. Both teams went up and down the field at will. And one thing, too, just mention, betting during bowl season. Another thing to watch out for is, man, one of the biggest advantages teams have to making it into the bowl game is you get an extra month to practice that other teams don't. Some people don't realize this. So let's say you go 6-6, you get to go to a bowl game, and you get a whole month to practice. Those other teams that aren't out there don't get the month to practice. You're not allowed to practice up until the bowl game like these guys are. But a lot of times you got coaches that are looking to next year. So you get a quarterback that's really their backup that hasn't played all year, that comes in for like a few – man, that shit drives me crazy. Laying 14 points or something stupid like that. And all of a sudden they're like, oh, they're going to try and get this guy a few series this week and shit like that. You're like, are you fucking kidding me? Yeah. I'm laying 14 points. Yeah. I don't have a couple series to waste on this.
Right. I'm up 7. I need a touchdown.
Right. Put the senior in the game.
That's right. Let this kid go out on a high.
Right. So that happens. And sometimes you never know which teams are going to do that or not. But I've seen that happen a million times. And it's even more now with so many guys taking off. You know, so many guys that are going to the NFL and they'll take off for the bowl game if it's not a real big bowl game and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So you got to be real careful during bowl season with that kind of stuff. Really try and get as much information as you can as far as who's playing, what coach is looking for his next job, what coach is looking to – you know, sometimes you have an interim coach at a place and, man, he knows, man, if my guys come out and bust ass and kick ass, this could be my job next. You know what I mean?
And then even like you got the situation today, I think FAU plays today and Lane Kiffin's coaching. He's going to wherever he's going, Ole Miss or whatever. So I don't even know if he's coaching the team today. And another thing I saw too, these guys are going to, it's going to be a bunch of trick plays. They're going to go throw it on fourth down. You know, there's really nothing to lose for, you know, half these guys, like, you know, Kent State, both those teams is the first bowl they've been to since I don't know, I think it said 27 years or something like Nick Saban was on one of the teams they were saying. So. So it's you know, everything, a lot of the rules are out the window. So this is kind of, you know, some of these games, especially these kind of obscure games, Central Michigan, San Diego State, go by, you know, entertainment purposes only, and any type of gut feeling you have, it's probably better than any handicapping you're going to do. So,
right, no doubt.
It's a little bit of bummer advice. I know it's, you know.
As the games get later into the season and get more important, they're less likely to do some of these tricks with the players and things like that. But always keep an eye out, you know, if guys are looking you know, like I say, if coaching staffs are looking for their next job, or if they have an older quarterback and they want to give the young guys some reps going into next year and stuff. That's so it's always important. All right, so they got four or five games today. Starts out with Central Michigan and San Diego State. Any feel on some of these games that looking at them?
I mean, at the eye test with this one, San Diego State minus 3.5 and 40. I would always, 40 jumps out at me, but it scares me because it's so low. So I'm probably going to stay away. I think maybe stay. I like San Diego State. We'll buy it to 3, lay a little extra juice there. Those teams, I'm typically a decent, a pretty good MAC fan for those Tuesday night and Thursday night games, but they all kind of seemed unimpressive to me this year. Not that San Diego State has any power, but I just think they're probably just a better team based off of, you know, nothing, just kind of their schedule, I guess. So I take San Diego State minus -3.
All right, sounds good. They got Liberty and Georgia Southern. Georgia Southern was one of those teams. I think they played LSU this year early in the season. They play kind of a, if I remember, they play kind of a triple option type thing, but play good D. They run the ball. Any thoughts on that one?
They're a decent program. There's one of the, they get a lot of guys, for whatever reason, don't go to Georgia or, you know, Auburn or those. It's like a second-tier academic SEC guys, if there's any, if there's such a thing. There's been a couple guys the Cowboys have drafted from Georgia Southern. Now, having said that, Liberty's got Hugh Freeze is the coach. They've had a great year. I'm going to go just with the momentum there and stick with Liberty and take the 6 points.
And one game with two pretty good teams that had real nice seasons this year: SMU 10-2 and Florida Atlantic at 10-3.
Yep, and this is that same situation we just discussed. Lane Kiffin. I'm not sure if he's coaching. If he's not, I'm sure the interim guy is. Knowing Lane Kiffin, I'm sure he's not there. I'm sure he just packed his bags and got out of town.
Right. He's not the guy. I'm gonna hang with the guys for one more season.
One more game. So, I like the Pony Express in this one, minus -8. Maybe even the over. I know it's kind of high, 63.5, but I do like SMU. They've been good to us, pretty good to us this season. So 8's, you know, it's more than a touchdown, but I think Florida Atlantic's probably a little, you know, like what the fuck going on in their head. So I'll go with SMU. And plus, Florida Atlantic, we had a couple times. They always shit the bed for us. So easy decision here.
Cool.
It is a book. Oh, I think that's a home game for. I think that is a home game for FAU. So that is something to consider. But I'm sure the line reflects that.
Right. And then I don't know if you had anything about Florida International and Arkansas State. I couldn't tell you much about these two teams.
This is one I think I like Arkansas State. They're similar in like to Georgia Southern. You know, they get a bunch of guys under the radar, like they can't academically make it at these other bigger SEC schools or whatever. I like this one too. They'll fight. It'll be like this, they'll have this crazy black and red uniform running around. The coach will be jumping around on the sidelines. I like Arkansas State. This one.
All right, cool.
Just, it's a pick.
All right, moving on. I know two teams you have opinions about. I know you like Boise and Washington. You were high on them going into this year. They kind of let us down a few times with that quarterback transfer from Georgia. Washington's favored by 3 over Boise in this one.
This is one I don't get, and that kind of scares me. I don't understand why Boise's not the favorite here. I'm taking Boise plus +3 for sure, and I would go over here. I think Boise can both. The thing at Boise, they kind of switch quarterbacks. They do that couple drives with this guy, a couple drives with that guy, which I find annoying, but I'm going with Boise in this one. This is a fairly easy decision looking at. Washington has disappointed us, but Boise is no. I don't know who Washington should be laying. You know, right. A team like Boise, I don't understand why they're laying 3.
Right, you got a 12-1 team against 7-5. Not that matters, but it's not like Washington's schedule is so much harder than a Boise State schedule. It's almost like the same. They play like the same bunch of teams almost.
Yep. And then I do think they'll score some points. I don't think it's too hard to get to 48. So you could throw that in there too if you want. But Boise for me is the play in this game.
And then I know you like the Appalachian State. They play UAB. That's right here in the Superdome in the New Orleans Bowl.
I love App State and even the college hoops. I love them. They're gonna win this game for sure. It's just by how many. UAB is kind of a weird thing because I thought they got rid of the football program like 3 years ago or something. I do like App State. They're gonna score points. 47.5 I think is gonna be attainable as well. Maybe, you know, we're looking at, you know, 34-14, you know, something like that. 35-20, something like that.
All right. I think that App State coach is heading to Missouri. Just, you know, it's just. But
they
play good. All right, we'll finish up the college for the week. Get us right into Thursday night, and then we'll get into Sunday NFL, and then we'll be rolling. So Monday, We have UCF. That's a team we've been on a lot. Plays Marshall in the Bad Boy Mowers Gasparilla Bowl.
Raymond James Stadium, which is basically that's kind of a home game for Central Florida too, right? 17 points is a lot. The wise guys I'm hearing in Marshall is the play here. That Central Florida is kind of bummed or pissed that they that their big bowl game is to, you know, go 10 minutes from their home stadium to play. So just based off that, I mean, Central Florida hasn't been that good to us. It's a different team than in years past. I got no problem taking Marshall plus 17.
Yeah, I'm all over that. I like Marshall plus a 17. Moving on, Tuesday night, Christmas Eve, we have Hawaii and BYU.
This is difficult because it's in Honolulu, right? I mean, just based off that, I'll take Hawaii. That's really enough. I know BYU is good and all that, but how – it's fucking Christmas Eve in Honolulu. How you feel like playing football? I don't know. To me, it's just a weird spot for any team to play out there. It's more of just a reward for them for a decent season. This year, we're going to go to Honolulu for Christmas. So
I feel like Hawaii will be able to score against almost anybody. They have that kind of offense and stuff like that. And BYU, they might even – you know, they're tough and all that stuff, but I don't think they'll be able to have the firepower to beat out BYU.
And I think we kind of give, you know, guys, me and you, our older guys give BYU some Lavelle Edwards consideration from back when we were kids, and there BYU was a top tier program. So Hawaii plus the points.
All right, dig it. Moving on, Thursday, the day after Christmas, we'll pick these two games, and then we're gonna have a show Thursday night to get us into next weekend. So we'll just get these last two. Louisiana Tech, you know, I like them, the Bulldogs. They're getting about a touchdown or 6 points from the Hurricanes.
This game's in Shreveport. I'll take the Louisiana Tech plus the six.
Them Hurricanes suck.
Yeah, fuck them. That's not the Raging Cajuns, is it?
No, that's the Bulldogs, Louisiana Tech.
Okay, that's right. Okay.
Still good. Nine had a great season this year, 9-3.
Yeah, I'll take that 6 points for sure, no doubt.
All right, and then the other game Thursday night is Pittsburgh plays Eastern Michigan in their favorite by about 11.
11.5 and 49. What's Eastern Michigan's record there? You got it?
Yeah, Eastern Michigan is 6-6, barely made it bowl eligible. They've lost three of their last five games, but they beat Kent, the team we saw the other day, by 8.
Yeah, and I just
which doesn't mean shit. But they lost to Buffalo by 30. They lost to Buffalo by 29. They lost in overtime to Toledo. They beat Northern Illinois. They beat Akron.
How many points they score against Kent?
They scored 26 points against Kent.
All right, I like Pittsburgh any over.
All right, sounds good. I think Pittsburgh is pretty solid, but they lost their last two tough games against BC and Virginia Tech, but they had some good quality wins this year, I thought.
Yeah, they're decent, and I mean this is okay. I mean it is play; it's in Ford Field, so but I don't know how many. I mean, how many kids even go to Eastern Michigan anyway? So I don't know how much of a home field advantage that's going to be, but
fair enough. So just to get us started in college, San Diego State, Liberty, SMU, Arkansas State, Boise over. App State, Marshall, Hawaii, Louisiana Tech, and Pitt. Just a little. That's a little Christmas appetizer.
That's yeah, you guys right. Appetizer. That's right. It's his cocktail hour. Yeah.
So we'll move back over to tomorrow's NFL games. Any games jump off the screen at you here?
Broncos -7. They're playing. Locke is playing well. They seem to have responded to him. The defense is playing. I think what you thought they'd be doing all season. Detroit's a mess. I don't know how the fuck they're keeping what's his name Patricia. Their secondary sucks. They're just a bad team. Tough to play in Mile High. Detroit's probably just waiting for the season to end. I think the kid, what's his name, Blount is still the quarterback. I'm a little surprised that it's only 7. I love the Broncos. 38's the number. I do like the over. If you know, I don't know if you think Detroit can get to 14 points, I would go over. But for sure, the Broncos in that one.
Cool, I'm down with that.
I actually like the Chargers in the other game, the Raiders, the second one. I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure. We can go back to that one maybe. Just going to go down the list here. Jacksonville, Atlanta.
Man, Dirk Diggler messed us up last week.
Yeah.
We finally believed that the Jags were stunk. Which they have, and then they knock off the Raiders. I guess the Raiders stink even more.
Yeah,
the
Raiders are not good, right? Yeah. So that's interesting. And then the next one on the list here, the Saints and the Titans, 2.5, Saints -2.5 and 50. I actually like the Titans +3 here. The Saints are very good, but they've been, it just seems like every game they play is a big game. A lot of emotion last week, and I think the Titans may have a little bit of a recipe, kind of play tough D. Maybe someone will pay attention to Michael Thomas. I don't know.
It's got all those things that the Saints kind of struggle in sometimes: outdoors, on the grass, cold weather, all that kind of stuff. Yep. Man, the Titans. I watched that game last week. They play a good. They're 8-6, and I don't know if they're going to make the playoffs or not. They're right there, right on the cusp. This is a huge game for them. Yep. And man, they play a strong. They play a good football game. You know, they play physical. They need a new kicker. We talked about that.
Yeah, but that's just such a. I mean, you're getting 3 points. It's such a fuck. Yep. I mean, it makes it hard. That's a huge disadvantage. It's crazy.
Right.
How they don't. It's fucking hasn't been addressed. Right. I don't know. Right. But I mean,
personally, I think the Saints will win this game. It's a huge game for them as far as seeding. But I have no problem taking the Titans at home plus the 3.
I got to buy at the 3. Those two I do like. Those two games so far. Next game on my list here, the Giants and the Redskins. Who knows? Daniel Jones is playing again. The Redskins actually played pretty good last week, right? I think.
Yeah, they almost nipped the Eagles.
Yeah, so I would stay away from that one. Then we got the Steelers and the Jets. This is another funky game. Steelers just win. I don't know how they do it, but they just win. The Jet plus 3 is another one I'm going to kind of skip on. I'm going to pass. Dolphins and Bengals. I like the Dolphins plus the 1. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I have no problem taking Dolphins at home.
Yeah. Bengals are horrific. Again, they just can't wait. They don't want to win this game. The Dolphins do not want to win this game. They're in a much better position at the number 1, even if they don't want to take a quarterback to kind of dictate. They could trade down, pick up 2 guys in the top, 6 or whatever it is. So.
Any thoughts on your big Cowboys have a huge game this week? That's basically for the division at this point, right?
It is. Cowboys win. They win a division. If they lose, they could still backdoor their way in. If the Eagles lose next week and the Cowboys, would think the Eagles have the Giants next week or something, and the Cowboys have the Redskins. I can't in good faith pick the Cowboys. They're wildly inconsistent. I have no trust. I do not trust them at all. I don't trust Jason Garrett. I don't trust Rod Marinelli. I don't trust Chris Richard. I don't trust their defense. I don't trust their offensive line. I don't trust anybody.
It's almost like as bad as the Eagles have been, do you really trust that they can go into Philly and come out with a victory, the Cowboys,
Yeah, the answer is no. I mean, I'm hoping, that I'm sitting here with a Cowboys sweatshirt on. I'm hoping that they're wrong, but I'm wrong. But I don't see it. This is a game. I wouldn't really bet it anyway, touch it anyway. But this is a show me, prove it. Let me see that you can do it. Based off this season, I don't think it's possible. The Eagles are banged up. They have no receivers. So that does help the Cowboys. But Dak is banged up, too. Like I said, they're talking about shooting him up with Toradol.
You gotta do what you gotta do at this point, bro.
No, I mean, I do think he'll play. I'm not even bringing that into consideration. I'm just going off the fact that the Cowboys, I have no trust in them. Not that I trust the Eagles either, but it's at home. That's the biggest factor.
All right. And then we got the Cardinals go to the Seahawks. Seahawks favored by quite a bit in this one, but it's a huge game for the Seahawks.
I do like Seattle here. I think Arizona has played a tough season. They've done kind of what we thought they would do. They're probably right around that 5 wins. They had their growing pains. I think the kid looks good. They don't look, necessarily foolish for taking him. I don't think that the coach was, completely, I wouldn't say he's the worst coach in the NFL or anything like that. So I think I'm sure they thought they'd be a little bit better, but this is probably what hope they'd be better.
I think they got some things they can build on for this
not
season anyway.
Boom. I just think the Seattle team, it's up there. It's a meaningful game. Seattle is playing pretty well. 9 points, it's a couple of scores. I like Seattle minus the 9. This is one for sure.
All right, cool. We've got the Chiefs on Sunday night go to Chicago.
This is a little bit of a scary one, too. Just because the Chiefs, since they got that defensive tackle back, they've been playing a lot better. The Bears do suck. Trubisky's no good. But I don't know how the Chiefs are going to be in that cold weather. Is it going to be cold? Is it going to be snowy? But you know what? That's kind of a silly thing to say, I guess, because it does snow and it is cold in Kansas City.
right.
I envision them as like a, like you said, like a best.
It's actually looks like partly cloudy, 45 degrees. So it's perfect football weather in Chicago.
I mean, just based off the eye test, the Chiefs, we can buy that to 6, Kansas City. That's no problem.
All right. I'm a little bit on the other side of that. I think the Bears, even though I think the Bears probably laid it all on the line last week, trying to beat Green Bay and came up a little short. And I just think they have the kind of team that they can beat the Chiefs. I think they run the ball and they can play some D. But you got to think the Chiefs will score enough maybe to outscore them. I have no problem, I guess, going to. I'm not going to fight for the Bears, put it that way. If you feel strongly about the Chiefs, I'm not going to.
The only game I saw a couple of Bears games. The only game that they really kind of followed through and did what you thought they would do, that I thought they were a good, well-coached game, was the Cowboy game. And that's when they ran the ball. And that's also coincidentally the game that Trubisky was accurate. So I don't believe in the coach for the Bears either, and I certainly don't believe in the quarterback. So that you add that up. And,
Fair enough.
Hey, right.
And then Monday night, man, this number surprised me a little bit. I was kind of expecting that it would be fairly even, or maybe the pack might even be favored a little or something like that. So I'm like thinking, oh, man, I'm going with the Vikings at home big time on Monday night. And then I see the number, and I'm like, well, that I don't know about this number, the 5.5. Right. You know, I mean, I just that's not really what I had in mind when I thought this game would be played.
What's the records of both these teams?
Okay, 10-4 and 11-3.
I mean,
this game's basically for all the marbles in the NFC North.
Yeah, and that line tells us something. I think everyone is surprised. It's been all over that sports gambling channel as well. It's 47 is kind of right, kind of there too. I do think it could probably go over. You know what? I don't know. I'm gonna go with the Vikings just based off of home field. I think it's one score. The Packers have regressed a little bit, you know, even to say that about a team with 10 wins. Their defense has gotten worse, I think, and they kind of got away a little bit from their run game maybe. So what's Cook playing, though? Dalvin Cook?
I think Cook might be out.
And it's still 5.5.
He's listed as questionable, but I feel like I saw something the other day saying
that. Yeah, that dude Boone, I think. Their guy named Boone.
Yeah, they got some good – I mean, they got some good backup running back. They got a couple guys that are – but actually, it's looking like that Madison guy is questionable also.
This is a tough one. All right, we got to pick something. What are you leaning?
I like the over.
All right.
Put it that way. I don't feel great laying 5.5 to Aaron Rodgers, but this could be the kind of game in a dome that Minnesota start, you know, kind of takes off on them. But I don't know, man. I didn't think – I thought at best Minnesota would be favored by 3, and I was comfortable doing that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's a whole nother score.
I mean, you know, who are you going to go with, Aaron Rodgers or Cousins? I know Cousins hasn't done his thing this year so much.
Well, it's prime time. Lights are on. Night games. If this game was at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, I'd like the Vikings more, to be honest with you.
Let's just take the points. If we're this not sure about it.
5-6. That's fine. Fair enough. Any over. We'll do that.
Green Bay and over. All right. So we got the Broncos, Chargers, Titans, Dolphins, Chiefs, Seattle, Green Bay and the over.
Sounds good. Winners.
All right. We'll be back again Thursday night after Christmas. Get all your Christmas eating and shopping and present opening and shit done. John Groh, thanks for the Bubba Music, iHeartRadio, YouTube, Google Play Music, Podbean, Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio. Check all that on picks on Sports Watch Monitor. Don't forget to go check us out at Instagram and Twitter. Webb, you got anything?
That's it. Go Cowboys. Go Tar Heels.
And go Jersey Devils. We're going to win some fantasy football championship this year.
Always. Send in those resumes for the internship.
Yeah, yeah. We want to hear some funny funny ways you can get that job, too.
Have Debbie tell them about competition. The YouTube, Smith.
Yep, don't forget. Here's Devin. She's going to tell you how to do the YouTube.
Hi, this is Devin Weber. When you go on the Wager Makers podcast webpage, make sure to subscribe, hit the like button, and hit the bell to put on your post notifications. Thank you.
All right, thanks, Devin.
Thanks, Webb. Bumble.
Say goodbye to the people.
Later, people. Let's go. Winners. Still keep sneaking a couple of late Christmas presents with all these winners from today. Week will end Sunday.